Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, a wonderful approach. Good morning. Hey, we have made it to this point. I am so proud of you. And this is not an easy task. This is not something you can do and just skip along. This is not something you can really do even with your eyes closed. It actually does take focus and dedication and commitment and all of those things that we often find have a hard time doing. But, yeah, if you've made it to this point, congratulations. I want you to continue your good hard work. Know that there are rewards on the other side and everything like that, okay? Congratulations. Keep working on yourself. Then I'm going to tell you, if you haven't done it perfectly, it's okay. Having patience with yourself is such a big part of anything. So when I tell people, look, this is part of the process. That's what I'm talking about. You have to have patience with this process. When I say to you, it's part of the process, that means, you know, take a nice deep breath. Take a nice deep breath. You know it may seem like everything is piling on top of each other. Just understand it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. God judges us by our intention. Okay? So if there's someone out there doing a perfect fast, which is hard to do, but you're doing a perfect fast, but you're doing it in a haughty way, I promise you, you're not going to get what you think you are. Okay? It is about your intention deep inside. What is your purpose in this? And if there's anything outside of pleasing God, I can tell you, you're off track. I'm going to push you around and say, okay, this is the proper track. This is about increasing a muscle, getting strong with discipline and determination and honesty and all those other things that are needed to complete a fast of this size. I went to work and my coworker was like, are you still in the fast? I was like, I don't know if I'm in the fast. And the way she said it, I was like, in the fast? I guess you could say I'm in the fast. But I was like, yeah, I'm still fasting. I am still in that process, yeah. And she's like, God, that's a long time. How long do you have to do this? I mean, she was, I could see within her own self, she was, yeah, I'm missing being able to have access to you. I'm missing this. I'm missing this. I'm missing this. How long do I have to wait? You know, this is so long. And so I remind her, well, you know, this is a God thing, you know. You know, so no matter what you may want or I may want or anything like that, this is the purpose of this, is that the reason why all of these millions of people around the world right now are stopping what they're doing and allowing their life to be more God-centered is we're trying to be God-centered people. We're trying to be spiritual people, right? And, I mean, she pouted, and I'm thinking to myself, you have no idea how I feel on this side, but look, keep your head up, okay? And so I want to remind everyone that there are people who are not fasting who may be missing you, who may be, you know, wanting you, hey, I want to go out to lunch with you. Or they, you know, they just may be to such a strong God center in you. You know, they're like, man, you're not cussing. I heard some people cussing the other day and it offended me. I was like, oh, you can't. Oh, I guess I can't control everybody. Oh, Lord. And I mean, it. I heard every single word and I was like, no. So, you know, during this time, I believe we're supposed to get more sensitive. We're supposed to get more sensitive to other people's plights, you know, I saw something about Haiti in the news, and everyone knows that we're connected to Haiti. We hear you. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to turn this off. I'm not even going to. I, you know, the TV was in the library. You know, I'm not even going to face this way. I'm going to turn my own self. And because I was like, no, I can't put that into my spirit today, especially during the daytime when I'm fasting and I'm already fasting. I'm already into my God swing. You know, I want you to recognize, pay attention to the things you can't do and while you're fasting, because that's a signal to things maybe you shouldn't be doing, period. If you can't do this and fast, maybe that's not a part of your life that you need to be involved in. If you're thinking right now, man, I'll be glad when this fast is over because I want to blank, 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 let's examine those. Let's really look into how important that is in our life and if it should even be there. Because anything that you can't do while living your God-centered life, I'm going to question if it's something that should be done, period. So, you know, I love the idea of spending this time in reflection, honestly examining your life. You know, we have to start understanding that sometimes it may feel like God is, you know, restricting us and putting us, making us do all this work. But sometimes what God is trying to do is expose to us, let us have our own aha moment, let us have our own, you know, awareness moment so that we can really see, oh, maybe I'm the problem. You know, I have cute videos. Mom asks this little girl, do you want to be part of the solution or part of the problem? And the little girl said, oh, I'm the whole problem. I said, oh, snap, got a problem here. So, you know, it's time for us to start looking at some of the things in our life and start really recognizing, does this item go with a God-centered life? Does this activity belong with a spiritual person? You know, I don't care, even if you were brought up and raised in a spiritual household, there's still things that we do that we learn from the world. So even if you were, unless you were brought up in a monk temple and stayed there your whole life, you know, you probably can skip this part. But if you have lived in the world, literally in the world, then you have been exposed to things that don't necessarily coincide with your spiritual person, with your spiritual lifestyle. And so those are the things that we need to address and work on and remove. But it's a process. It's a process. Give yourself that process. So, yeah. So give yourself the process. Don't beat yourself up when things aren't working exactly as you want them to. Understand that this is part of the process. And by day 11, you are either zooming along or you have stopped. All right? So those people zooming along, great. Have a good time. Keep doing it. Don't forget, switch up your fast every now and again when you want to. For those people that have stopped, restart your engine. Restart your car. It's okay. You can come back and forth. I really want us to try to get our strong 30 days in, but for health conditions, for situations that you have going on in your life or whatever, I understand if you have to take a knee. I understand if you're like, look, I'm really doing a highly modified fast. I am doing, you know, I get it. I get it. I understand. And it's not about me understanding. It's really about God. This is about a sacrifice. For some people, you know, fasting until 5 o'clock is a sacrifice. For some people, fruits and vegetables, okay, don't underestimate that fruits and vegetable fast. I try to tell people, don't underestimate it. It is real. For some people, that's a sacrifice. So it's about the sacrifice. It's about God. It's about your intention. It's about pulling away from some of this crazy stuff we've picked up in the world. So work on that, family. Work on it. So if you have stopped, it's fine. Restart. If you have not been reaching out to your fast buddy, reach out to your fast buddy. They need the help. You know, if you're sitting there like, oh, I'm a strong faster, I've got this, I don't need no help. Well, they're not there to help you. You're there to help them. And vice versa, if you're like, man, I am struggling, your fast buddy is assigned to help you. So reach out. Get your community service done. And let's keep those swear jars low. Even though they're paying for dinner Saturday, let's still keep them low, okay? Oh, journaling. This is a hard journal. It's a hard journal for me. It's a hard journal, period. Today we're journaling about our faceless angels. The faceless angels are angels, are babies that either didn't make it all the way through the birthing process or only stayed here for a little bit of time, and they are very, very difficult emotionally to deal with. All the same, they are spirits. They did exist. They have a purpose. And so we have to spend time and energy with them. They need a lot of love, and they need a lot of support and a lot of prayer for healing for the whole family, for the women that, you know, had to make hard decisions or body just couldn't hold it, for the men who, 9 times out of 10, the men don't even know if they've lost the child or if they've had a baby aborted, or they don't even know. And so all they have is this feeling of like, oh, what's wrong? Well, that's wrong. That is what's wrong. And then, you know, the families and, you know, the ancestors that were hoping to be reincarnated and didn't make it through, you know, there's a lot of energies and feelings involved in these little ones. And a lot of times we are told, instructed to kind of get over it, put under the rug, let's not focus on that, you know, or they try to hurry up and have another baby, but that's a whole nother baby. That's a different baby. And so it's very difficult to emotionally talk about this, but it's important. We have to talk about it. We have to make prayers that these little ones find their way back to God. You know, we have to do work to make sure that they are well kept. You know, we want them to be well kept while they are waiting to be reincarnated. And I don't care what religion, culture, understanding you have, those faceless angels exist in all places and spaces. And so, you know, no matter who you are, no matter you have experienced this somewhere in your life or in a sister's life or in your friend, in your ancestral legacy, it's there. And if we don't deal with it, it creates a gap. And like Swiss cheese is still cheese, even though it has these holes in it, right? And if you're careful, then you can find a nice slice of cheese with not too many holes where it doesn't interfere with the integrity of the cheese, and you don't, you know, lose the flavor. But if your holes are too big, you know, you're like, this isn't cheese. This is just, you know, a little yellow string at this point. You know, this is where we are when it comes to the things that we have to work on and heal, you know. And part of our job now for a lot of people is going back into our ancestry and creating the healing that's needed, okay? In the midst of all that, you know, we're here, we're doing the work. Try to remember them. They are part of our ancestors. They are part of our family that is now transitioned, you know? And so be aware of the thoughts and feelings and emotions that you may have if you have personally experienced this. Like I said, the healing is not a one-time thing. Healing is a journey. So everyone, please spend some time journaling. Please spend some time thinking about your ancestors that are not part, that may not be on your ancestral tree. You know, everyone in Wonderful Approach has done a lot of research as to who their ancestors are, not just their names, not just their dates, but, like, as people, who were they? Because we see a lot of those same characteristics coming through in the back end. So we need to know, who are our ancestors? What do they stand for? And where do I see that in me? So this is part of that research. You know, if this runs in your field, chances are, well, from what I know of ancestors, nothing is singular, nothing. These things tend to run in your family, whether they're spoken about or not. And so this gives us an opportunity to think about our ancestors and the things that were in their lives, in our lives, but were never documented, were never shared, because they were so painful. So I remember having a conversation with an angel, and she was telling me how difficult a particular situation was for her. And, you know, I told her, I was like, everything in spirituality is not rainbows and sunshine. If we're being honest with each other, if we're being honest with ourselves, everything is not rainbows and sunshine. Some things are hard feelings. Some things are, you know, man, I didn't know I was going to make it through. You know, some things are difficult. And so I don't want to send a message that everything is hard, but I do want to send a message that there are some very challenging aspects to spirituality, and those people that have the heart to do it, you know, this is what we do. You know, I think about hospice, right? Hospice is such a hard job. You're there as this person is declining in life, right? At the same time, those families that are going through that, they need you. And so I find that even though things are difficult and there's places and spaces that, I mean, are gut-wrenching, just difficult, the people that are there in those moments, oh, they need you. You're doing such a wonderful service for them, even though it may be mentally and emotionally difficult. The work that's needed is a blessing. And the harder it gets, the fewer the people that want to do it / can do it. So as we're going through this work, understand this is not all of the work. So if this ain't your thing, it's okay. You know, but understand this is a very active part of life, and it's something that we need to be working at least aware of. At least we can acknowledge it, because that acknowledging it starts some of the healing process, okay? So I hope and pray that day 11, everyone can be rejuvenated. Everyone can find a new reason for fasting. Everyone can
have a new entry in their gratitude journal and really begin to say, okay, look, we're going to work on this. We're going to build on this, okay? And that's going to help us move forward in our own lives, okay? All right. For all those staying strong, working on that muscle, stay with it. And encourage somebody while you're in the process. All right. We'll speak more soon. Peace.